outside their cocoons. Observing all this, seers arrived at a practical conclusion. They saw that men of reason are bound to live longer because by disregarding the impulse of the emanations at large, they quiet down the natural agitation inside their cocoons. The self-absorbed individuals, on the other hand, by using the impulse of the emanations at large to create more agitation, shorten their lives. What do seers see when they gaze at self-absorbed human beings? I ask. They see them as intermittent bursts of white light, followed by long pauses of dullness, he said. Don Juan stopped talking. I had no more questions to ask, or perhaps I was too tired to ask about anything. There was a loud bang that made me jump. The front door flew open and Genaro came in, out of breath. He slumped on the mat. He was actually covered with perspiration.
I was explaining about the first attention, Don Juan said to him.
The first attention works only with the known, Genaro said. It isn't worth two plugged nickels with the unknown.
That is not quite right, Don Juan retorted. The first attention works very well with the unknown. It blocks it. It denies it so fiercely that in the end the unknown doesn't exist for the first attention. Taking an inventory makes us invulnerable. That is why the inventory came into existence in the first place.
What are you talking about? I asked Don Juan. He didn't reply. He looked at Genaro as if waiting for an answer.
But if I open the door, Genaro said, would the first attention be capable of dealing with what will come in?
Yours and mine wouldn't, but his will, Don Juan said, pointing at me.
Let's try it.
Even though he's in heightened awareness? Genaro asked Don Juan.
That won't make any difference, Don Juan answered.
Genaro got up and went to the front door and threw it open. He instantly jumped back. A gust of cold wind came in. Don Juan came to my side, and so did Genaro. Both of them looked at me in amazement. I wanted to close the front door. The cold was making me uncomfortable. But as I moved toward the door, Don Juan and Genaro jumped in front of me and shielded me.
Do you notice anything in the room? Genaro asked me.
No, I don't, I said, and I really meant it. Except for the cold wind pouring in through the open door, there was nothing to notice in there.
Weird creatures came in when I opened the door, he said. Don't you notice anything?
There was something in his voice that told me he wasn't joking this time. The three of us, with both of them flanking me, walked out of the house. Don Juan picked up the kerosene lantern, and Genaro locked the front door. We got inside the car, through the passenger side. They pushed me in first, and then we drove to Don Juan's house in the next town.
Chapter 6 Inorganic Beings. The next day, I repeatedly asked Don Juan to explain our hasty departure from Genaro's house. He refused even to mention the incident. Genaro was no help either. Every time I asked him, he winked at me, grinning like a fool. In the afternoon, Don Juan came to the back patio of his house where I was talking with his apprentices. As if on cue, all the young apprentices left instantly. Don Juan took me by the arm, and we began to walk along the corridor. He didn't say anything. For a while, we just strolled around, very much as if we were in the public square. Don Juan stopped walking and turned to me. He circled me, looking over my entire body. I knew that he was seeing me. I felt a strange fatigue, a laziness I had not felt until his eyes swept over me. He began to talk all of a sudden.
The reason Genaro and I didn't want to focus on what happened last night, he said, was that you had been very frightened
during the time you were in the unknown. Genaro pushed you, and things happened to you in there.
What things, Don Juan?
Things that are still difficult, if not impossible, to explain to you now, he said. You don't have enough surplus energy to enter into the unknown and make sense of it. When the new seers arranged the order of the truths about awareness, they saw that the first attention consumes all the glow of awareness that human beings have, and not an iota of energy is left free. That's your problem now. So, the new seers proposed that warriors, since they have to enter into the unknown, have to save their energy. But where are they going to get energy if all of it is taken? They'll get it, the new seers say, from eradicating unnecessary habits.
He stopped talking and solicited questions. I asked him what eradicating unnecessary habits did to the glow of awareness. He replied that it detaches awareness from self-reflection and allows it the freedom to focus on something else.
The unknown is forever present, he continued. But it is outside the possibility of our normal awareness. The unknown is the superfluous part of the average man, and it is superfluous because the average man doesn't have enough free energy to grasp it. After all the time you've spent in the warrior's path, you have enough free energy to grasp the unknown, but not enough energy to understand it or even to remember it.
He explained that at the site of the flat rock, I had entered very deeply into the unknown, but I indulged in my exaggerated nature and became terrified, which was about the worst thing anyone can do. So I had rushed out of the left side like a bat out of hell, unfortunately, taking a legion of strange things with me. I told Don Juan that he wasn't getting to the point that he should come out and tell me exactly what he meant by a legion of strange things. He took me by the arm and continued strolling around with me.
In explaining awareness, he said, I am presumably fitting everything, or nearly everything, into place. Let's talk a little bit about the old seers. Genaro, as I've told you, is very much like them.
He led me then to the big room. We sat down there, and he began his elucidation.
The new seers were simply terrified by the knowledge that the old seers had accumulated over the years, Don Juan said. It's understandable. The new seers knew that knowledge leads only to